It is time to talk wolves. John, tell us who we are talking to.
Well, we're going to be speaking this morning with my grandnephew, Ames. Ames is a ninth grader. He's 15 years old. And Ames has had a long and involved interest in nature. And it is, I should ask Ames to explain, but I remember when you were just a young lad and dragonflies were your passion, and lately you've become quite interested in wolves. Tell us a little bit about, well, tell us about your background and what brought you to the wolf.
Yeah, I used to love dragonflies and like all kinds of insects. And I used to like catch them and like examine them. And like, I would read up on them, and I was just super interested in dragonflies and like insects. And now I'm kind of interested in like larger animals, like wolves and like more like predators.
You won't be wanting to catch one and examine it the way you did with the dragonflies. But I look forward to learning more. You went quite deep into the gray wolf.
And yeah.
Tell us a little bit, some of the things you discovered.
Well, I thought there was only like one like dominant species of gray wolf, like just the normal gray wolf. But yeah, Apparently there's like over 30 different subspecies.
Wow. Now when it comes to subspecies, is that something that like if you were studying wolves, would you be, I guess, you know, when you talk about anybody who does taxonomy, they sort of are, there are two groups. There are those who say, they're all just wolves. And then there are those who say, oh, but no, there's this wolf, that wolf, that wolf, that wolf, and that wolf. And you're telling me there are 30 recognized subspecies?
Yeah, of gray wolf.
And these are just the ones that are presently found on Earth. These are not historical records of gray wolves from the past.
Yeah, these are ones that are found like present today.
Okay. So here in northern Minnesota, which subspecies are we seeing?
The eastern wolf.
Eastern gray wolf or eastern timber wolf.
Yeah.
And what would this differentiate that wolf from others?
Well, it's typically a little smaller than your average gray wolf. It has 25% coyote ancestry. So it's more of like, it's intermediate in size between a coyote and a gray wolf. It's mainly like a grayish, whitish kind of grizzled color, but black individuals are not rare.
Yeah, I've seen several that were, I wouldn't describe them as black the way my black lab is black, but very, very dark gray animals, pretty much feet to ear tips. You know, they're just one color.
Yeah.
Now, what's the average weight for a northern Minnesota eastern gray wolf?
Like I'd say 57 to like 67 pounds. But sometimes they get to like 75, 80 pounds. It depends on like what season. In the winter, they're heavier in the winter because they have more fat.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it's easier to catch their prey in the winter. What's their primary prey?
They primarily feed on like beaver and white-tailed deer. They sometimes go after like moose and elk, but that's a little bit more sparse because they're smaller than normal gray wolves. So they tend to prey on like smaller undulates.
And you said earlier that our gray wolf here, the eastern gray wolf, is about 25% coyote?
Yep.
Wow.
And yeah, there's two variants of the eastern wolf. There's the Great Lakes wolf, which is the one we have in like upper Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, parts of the upper peninsula of Michigan and stuff. And then there's the Algonquin wolf, which is like in the Algonquin National Park, like in Quebec. And that the Algonquin wolf is like 40% coyote and is much smaller.
Wow. Huh. No idea. So where would we go if we wanted to see a big wolf, a really big wolf?
You would want to go to either Yellowstone or British Columbia, Canada, and in Alaska too. There's also big wolves.
And what subspecies are they?
Well, there's three different subspecies. There's the Alaskan tundra wolf, which is a large, mainly white wolf that lives in northern Alaska, in the tundra region of Alaska. There's the Alaskan interior wolf, which is larger than the tundra wolf and is typically like 71 to 130 pounds. And it mainly hunts like moose and like large undulates. Then there's the largest wolf, which is the Northwestern wolf, which lives in Yellowstone National Park, parts of British Columbia, southeastern Alaska, and then also in Northwestern United States, like Washington and Oregon.
Now, I had read that the largest population of wolves in the continental U.S. is in Minnesota. Is that correct? We have the largest number?
Yeah.
And the wolf is about to be delisted. And how will that affect it? Of course, that maybe isn't a question you can answer, but.
I mean, I think that it'll be like it'll be hunted frequently, like more frequently than it was because it's off the like Endangered Species Act.
Hey, John, we had a question earlier, remember from Brenda, about whether it was a wolf or a coyote.
Right, right.
Tell Ames about that? Yeah, and see what he thinks.
Email Ames, and this woman had taken a picture of a large canid in a residential area right along Pacagama Lake, and kind of a sharply pointed nose, which some people might say indicates coyote. Any guess, coyote or wolf?
I would have to see the picture, but it could be like a mixture of both. Like there's something called the Eastern coyote, which is a half wolf, half coyote.
Wow. Huh. So in studying the wolf, did you do any work on the coyote as well? I suppose you ran into them obviously there's some overlap between the genetics of the coyote and the genetics of the wolf. So.
Yeah. Some wolf subspecies have like around 20% coyote in them, like the red wolf and the Mexican wolf and the Eastern wolf, obviously. And there's quite a bit of differences. The coyotes are like much smaller, like pointed muzzle, lighter, typically more of a brownish red color.
That corresponds to what I've seen, but we see neither of them very often. And I suspect that those people who look at lots of wolves and lots of coyotes, maybe who study them, would look at the picture and go, oh, coyote, or oh, wolf. All those that I've seen in the wild, the coyotes and the wolves, it's pretty obvious. It's just like there's a size difference, a sort of an air about them difference. They just seem to be, the wolf seems to be different in its attitude. Any thoughts?
Yeah, coyotes are more like, coyotes like wander into urban, are more like urban adapted. They like go into urban areas and stuff, and they're well adapted in like different habitats. Wolves are typically just adapted into like one main habitat.
Yeah. So tell me again, I just got a question from one of our listeners, and he wondered how much wolf DNA and coyotes?
I would say, well, it depends on what subspecies of coyote, but mainly like 10%, I'd say, 10 or a little less.
And you know, I have not spent any real time studying wolves or coyotes, but I had been under the impression that, you know, a wolf coming across a coyote would see it as food, not as a mate.
Yeah.
Clearly that's not true.
Yeah, Eastern wolves are like smaller than normal gray wolves, and they don't want to have too many confrontations with coyotes. But if they do, sometimes like a small female will see a large male coyote and decide to mate with it. And that's what created the Eastern coyote.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
really amazing.
So Ames, if someone listening is getting interested in wolves because of what they're hearing you talk about, what have been some of the best sources for information for you? Where are you finding out about this?
I mean, Wikipedia is pretty good. And there's also some different articles. Like there's like this article, like Wolf Blog or something, that's pretty good. Has a lot of information.
I read Meech's book about the wolves on Isle Royale, and there were some interesting things in there. And Heidi and I have a very good friend up here, Ames, who's studying wolves, and she actually crawls into the dens when they find the wolves in the spring with the babies. She gets to crawl in there, and Ames, this woman is like the size of your sister. I'm pretty sure if I were her size, I would not crawl into a wolf den. I mean, I'd fit, but what's to say the wolf isn't gonna like be laying in there waiting for you, you know?
Yeah.
So, but those jobs exist. I think you're probably already too large to go in.
But yeah,
Dave Meech in his book, he had an associate. And they were studying the wolves on Isle Royale, and they would actually crawl in, pull out the babies, collar them. Something else I learned about wolves, maybe from you. They found a litter of wolves, and they collared them, like six or seven of them, and a year later, only one of them still had a collar. All the others had just gotten rid of collars, and they said that's part of the problem. Studying wolves, they're pretty clever. Do you think you'll continue to study the wolf? Is that something you might want to settle on as a future?
I'm debating. Maybe.
Well, my own experience with you has been one of just pure joy. Hanging out with you is always interesting because when you find something that attracts your interest, you focus and you learn a great deal, and it's obvious you've done that with the wolf. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning and telling us more about the wolf. Which of the wolves, now that you've had a chance to study them, which one seems to be your favorite?
I mean, there's a lot of, I like the Eurasian wolf.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, it lives in Europe and Asia. It's the nominant subspecies. It's the largest wolf. It's the largest old world wolf, like in Europe and Asia, typically weighing like 90 to 140 pounds. It's just interesting. Like, there's different variations of it. There's some in like Scandinavia, which are bulkier and like larger than those in Russia. And they're different from the American ones because they have a little bit of a thinner, longer snout. Like their snout's thinner and longer.
Hmm.
They're also more like stockier, I would say. Like the American ones are like bigger, like just in overall body mass. These ones are a little bit more compact and have like larger bones, just like stockier.
You know, what I've noticed on the wolves that I've seen is that they're tall. The ones that I've seen up here, long legs, not such big bodies. And part of that might be that the last one that I saw and recall clearly was in the summer. And I'm sure it had shed away most of its winter coat. And so it looked probably pretty skinny. But when you tell me that they're smaller wolves, they're 70 pounds, 80 pounds, maybe, that corresponds with what I've seen.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you again for joining us, Ames. I can't wait to see what it is that catches your attention next. I'm always thrilled to be hanging out with you and learning what it is that you're interested in. It always expands my knowledge. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It was great to be with you. That's Ames Davis, a 15-year-old ninth grade student in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. He joined us this morning to talk about wolves. Down about the old stranger one fine lay. Hardly spoke, folks.